week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. My opening serve on the Sunny Side of Sports is Australian Open tennis. Defending champion Novak Djokovic defeated Roger Federer in straight sets Thursday to advance once again to the men's singles final. Craig Gabriel reports from Melbourne, Australia.
In 2 hours, 18 minutes, Novak Djokovic reached his eighth final at the Australian Open, and incredibly, he's never lost a final at Rod Laver Arena. Roger Federer started well and had Djokovic concerned, but the way the Serb explained it, it was that his attention was on Federer and what his movement was like, considering he had a groin issue from the previous match. But Federer went up 5-2 when Djokovic realized he had to change tack, and he did. He began to concentrate on himself, and that saw the match turn.
Respect to him for trying his best, you know. After losing the first set, he got a medical, he came back and played all the way through. So that's really worth respect and it's unfortunate that he was not at his best.
Once Djokovic got the first set, he relaxed and rolled through 7-6, 6-4, 6-3. It's his 27th win from 50 matches with the Swiss, and it's Novak's 12th win from the last 13 major semis that he's contested.
I'm pleased with the way I've been feeling and playing. I thought ATP Cup went really well for me and got a lot of hours spent on the court, singles and doubles, and it was a great lead-up for Australian Open. Obviously got a lot of positive energy from that competition and dropped only one set so far up to the finals, and have 2 days of no match right now, which actually is really good. It gives me more time to, you know, recuperate and gather all the necessary energy for the finals.
Earlier there was heartbreak for Australian tennis fans when the American Sofia Kenin, the 14-seeded 21-year-old, upset world number one Ash Barty 7-6, 7-5 to reach the final of a major for the very first time.
I mean, it's not like shocked, but it's like a dream come true for me. You know, I've always dreamed about this. Of course, I believed in myself. I was playing and, you know, I knew it was in the semifinal and it was just great. And it wasn't, you know, I'm so happy I was able to share the court with Ash. And yeah, after the match, of course, it's pretty emotional. I mean, it's the finals. It's something different. It's surreal. So I'm so grateful for it.
This was a stunning result, and it puts her into the world's top 10. Both semis had exactly the same score. Garbine Muguruza accounted for Simona Halep, and the Spaniard has reached the final without the loss of a set.
You didn't know who was going to win that first set. I think we both had set points, and again, I knew it was going to be a hard match. You know, the first set was, you know, very long, so I knew that it was going to be key to the match because of the circumstances and the weather and everything. You know, just hanging there, and whoever was going to be stronger was going to get it. So I was happy that, you know, I stayed solid there and took my chances at the end.
She's in her fourth final at the majors and the first for over 2 years. All this as the mercury passed 40 degrees Celsius, or way more than 100 degrees Fahrenheit. The second men's semi is to come, and Dominic Thiem will follow up his win over Rafa Nadal by facing Alexander Zverev. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. We've enjoyed your reports throughout the Australian Open, the year's first major tennis tournament. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to African football, FIFA Secretary General Fatma Samora has been visiting Uganda to supervise FIFA projects in the country. She says FIFA will, in the next 4 years, grant Uganda about $6 million to help develop soccer activities, including women's football. Magume Davis Rakawinj filed this report from Kampala, Uganda.
Samora said she's pleased with the way football is governed in Uganda. She said she believes with the current leadership of local football in the country, Uganda could make it to the World Cup in coming years.
Football is in good hands in Uganda, and I want it once again to keep on telling you that you have the support of FIFA president and the FIFA administration to take the Ugandan football to the next level.
The Uganda Cranes, the Uganda national football team, will participate in 2022 Qatar FIFA World Cup qualifiers. and is competing to return to Continental Showpiece AFCON for the third time in a row. Engineer Moses Magogo, the head of Local Football Association, Federation for Football Association in Uganda, OFUFA, has promised to ensure the Uganda Cranes qualify for the World Cup for the first time. Efit Samura says it's now possible.
We have increased the number of participating teams from 24 to 32, starting the next edition. And with what we are currently witnessing here in Uganda, I have no doubt that we will be making it.
Currently, only 5 African countries qualify for the World Cup. Africa will have 7 slots in the 2026 FIFA World Cup to be hosted by 3 countries, the United States of America, Canada and Mexico. Magogo is grateful for the FIFA grant, which he hopes will help develop football in the country.
We want to be the number one football nation in Africa, on and off the pitch. And for us to do that, we must engage all our youth teams. We must support club football in this country. We must build infrastructure. And we must be able not only to present teams, but compete to win in this international competition.
Magogo promises to build some stadia around the country, which will help managers to be able to scout some raw talent. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Ogume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. In more African football news, Zimbabwe has named the Croatian Zdravko Logorušić as the new head coach of the national team, nicknamed the Warriors. The 54-year-old Logorušić signed a 2-year deal, and he'll be assisted by the Zimbabwean Joey Antipas, who had been the caretaker coach since August 2019. Logorušić previously coached Sudan. He left that position in December 2019 when his contract was not renewed. The Croatian tactician has a solid coaching pedigree in Africa. He's also coached clubs in Ghana, Angola, Kenya, and Tanzania. Logorušić's first competitive matches in charge of Zimbabwe will be in March, when the Warriors play reigning champion Algeria in back-to-back 2021 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers. The Sunny Side of Sports remembers pioneering African striker Leon Mukuna, the first player from the Democratic Republic of Congo to play in Europe. Mukuna died at the age of 90 in the Belgian city of Ghent. He had settled in Ghent, where he played for KAA Ghent, and he opened the door for other African footballers to play in Belgium. In a statement, KAA Ghent said, and I quote, "Leon Mukuna was a Ghent football icon and will always be treasured by the club." Mukuna was discovered when Sporting Lisbon of Portugal toured Angola in 1954 and made a trip to neighboring Belgian Congo, as it was known at that time. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Sporty greetings. This is Tony Ibitoye, the media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
And if our Voice of America listeners check out my Facebook page on this Thursday, they'll see a photo of a giant mural of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna that was painted on a basketball court in the Philippines. Kobe, Gianna, and seven others were killed January 26th in a helicopter crash near Los Angeles, California. The tragedy has generated an outpouring of tributes and mourning in the Philippines, here in the United States, and all over the world. Kobe was regarded as a basketball ambassador who traveled all over the globe to promote the sport. In fact, Kobe began this year with a special message for his fans in China, as we hear now in this feature report by my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson.
Happy New Year, my dear friends in China. Thank you for your support this year. I wish you happiness, health, and inner magic to achieve more success in the upcoming year of the mouse. Love, Kobe.
NBA great Kobe Bryant posted his annual video for Chinese basketball fans, and then he was gone. A helicopter crash near Los Angeles claimed his life at age 41, along with his 13-year-old daughter Gianna and seven others on board. Fans quickly gathered outside the Staples Center Arena where the Los Angeles Lakers play.
He's going to be missed. It was tragic when he left because it took everybody by surprise.
His passion and his drive to play the game was incredible, and what he did for so many people here in Los Angeles. So I'm here today to pay respects.
Kobe Bryant's given me some of the best memories of my life. And I respect that about it. I respect the hard work. I respect the dedication to the game.
I pay my respect to Kobe, one of my favorite players in the NBA.
He touched my family tremendously. I mean, he was bigger than the game. Incredible. Incredible athlete. Best ever.
Bryant is widely considered one of the greatest NBA players of all time and most known athletes around the world, making 18 All-Star teams during his 20-year career with the Lakers, winning five NBA championships, two NBA Finals Most Valuable Player awards, and he was the league MVP in 2008. His father, Joe, was a former NBA player who would later take his game to Italy, where Kobe learned to speak the local language fluently. Childhood friend Davide Guidici recalls how Kobe spoke of his future at age 12.
He was just a kid. His Mamba mentality
was there in his mind. And many times, I remember him many times saying, guys, one day I will be a professional player. I don't know where, if in Serie A in Italy or in Europe or in NBA, but I will play basketball for sure in my life.
News of his death reverberated from Italy to Philadelphia, where Kobe Bryant was born. His parents named him Kobe after seeing the famous beef from Japan listed on a restaurant menu. The Bryant Gymnasium was dedicated in 2010 to honor the famous alum, who was in 1996 one of just a handful of NBA players ever to be drafted directly from high school. Stuart Guy was his friend.
It was bigger than basketball, really. It was deeper than basketball. Just, you know, he was always kidding around, joking around. We always joked around in the hallways. Always had good conversations. Just funny and down to earth. And that's what I've always told anybody when they ask me about him. He's just a down-to-earth guy when you get to know him.
Former Los Angeles Lakers head coach Del Harris reflected on the early career of the team's legendary shooting guard.
I was Kobe's first coach when he was only 17 when Jerry drafted him, and 18 by the time he got in an NBA game. And he was just such a wonderful kid, but more than that, has turned into a wonderful adult man.
Del Harris says Bryant's playing legacy endures.
All the players that have come after him have learned about his work ethic and what it takes to be the best that any individual can be.
The tragic news quickly reached China, where Kobe Bryant was the clear icon of professional basketball. Liu Chen is an accountant. He has influenced the generations of post-80s and post-90s. He was the one after Michael Jordan. It's regretful because he was too young. He had good relations with China and visited many times. We all miss him. Everyone, it seems, plays basketball in the Philippines, where Bobby Manlises is a Kobe Bryant fan.
Ano yan, parang alay ko sa kanya kasi talagang ano siya, idol ko siya ever since.
I offered these flowers to him because he has always been my idol. He is my inspiration, his character. He is one of the people who built my character, not just in basketball, but in life. He is my inspiration.
Hindi lang sa basketball, pati sa buhay ko. Naging inspiration ko siya.
Tiger Woods learned of the accident after playing the final round at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines in California.
It's a shocker to everyone. Unbelievably sad and one of the more tragic days.
Tennis great Novak Djokovic reacted to the news in Melbourne at the Australian Open.
I don't know. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, his daughter that is, you know, 13 years old, and I don't know what to say, to be honest. I'm sorry, but I'm heartbroken, honestly, with what has happened.
Kobe Bryant was on 15 All-NBA teams, 12 All-Defensive teams, and led the league in scoring for two seasons. He ranks fourth in the NBA for all-time regular season scoring and all-time postseason scoring. He was also a two-time U.S. Olympic gold medalist. His first sports ambition was to play football, known as soccer in the United States.
I had more talent playing basketball than I did playing soccer. You know, when I first started playing soccer, they just stuck me in the goal because I had these really long arms and long legs and said, okay, kid, just stop whatever ball comes your way. And that's what I did. And then I started getting better and better. But I was never, you know, close to being as good at soccer as I was at basketball.
In a 2013 interview with ESPN Brazil, Bryant also reflected on his inspiration to play basketball at the highest level.
Oscar Schmidt was, you know, he was the guy when I grew up over there. I mean, he was playing in Europe, and he was 35, 40 points every night. I mean, he was just automatic. And I remember just watching him play and saying, man, if I could shoot like that, you know, at his height and be able to handle the ball at his size. And you know, him and my father were very similar in that because they were both very tall and both could shoot the ball. So I was a really, really big fan of Oscar.
That inspiration led to many indelible moments, including buzzer-beating shots for the win. Fittingly, his final game would be a magnificent 60-point performance against the Utah Jazz, as Bryant, at nearly age 38, became the oldest player to score that many points in a game.
For the final time, number 24 on the floor, 6'6", 20th champion of Lower Merion High School, five-time world champion, Kobe Bryant. A 60-point game for Kobe Bryant. What a performance. What an exit for number 24.
There were low points, injuries, and an alleged rape that was eventually settled out of court. But Bryant's hard work and play culminated with the Los Angeles Lakers retiring both of his jerseys, number 8 and 24, the only player in team history to receive that honor. Just 2 years ago, Kobe Bryant collected another honor, the Oscar for Best Animated Short Film, Dear Basketball.
What are you going to do when you retire? And I'd say, well, I want to be a writer. I want to be a storyteller. And I got a lot of... Yeah, that's cute. You'll be depressed when your career is over and you'll come back to playing, you know. And I got that a lot. And so to be here right now and to have like a sense of validation is, dude, this is crazy, man.
And it's crazy for most of us to think that Kobe Bryant is now gone.
Crazy indeed, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. And I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out Jim's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Kobe Bryant's Los Angeles Lakers will host the Portland Trail Blazers Friday night in their first game since Sunday's tragedy. The Lakers were scheduled to play their cross-city rival, the Los Angeles Clippers, on Tuesday night, but that game was postponed. On Wednesday, the Lakers opened the doors to the media at their practice facility, but the players did not speak with reporters. And speaking of the reporters, there were more than 100 media members on hand in Los Angeles, and many were dressed in black out of respect for Kobe Bryant. Lakers coach Frank Vogel was the only member of the organization to address the media on Wednesday. He said the players met over lunch to share their memories of Kobe and grieve together, and he expressed confidence that the healing process has begun. Across Los Angeles, the Clippers also paying tribute to Kobe Bryant. The two big stars on the Clippers are Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, who both grew up in the Southern California area, and they grew up watching Kobe and idolizing Kobe. Paul George said at practice Wednesday, "For all the Southern California guys, it's just different. Kobe was our Michael Jordan. Kobe was our hero. He was our GOAT." And then George finally said, "If there was no Kobe Bryant, I don't know who I would have looked at and idolized." Some of my Sunny Side of Sports Facebook friends are also sharing their thoughts about Kobe Bryant. Sir Joshua Zenit, who studied at the University of Port Harcourt in Nigeria, dedicated the Michael Jackson song, "Cry," in memory of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the other victims. And Sir Joshua even quoted from the song, "Cry," "Somebody shakes when the wind blows. Somebody's missing a friend. Somebody's lacking a hero. And they have not a clue when it's all gonna end." And that wraps up the January 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to Voice of America engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
This is Science in a Minute.
Researchers at Cardiff University in Wales say they have discovered a new type of immune cell that could someday help provide effective therapy that would fight a wide range of cancers. The researchers found that immune cells known as T cells, armed with new receptors called MR1, can find and destroy human cancer cells such as lung, skin, blood, colon, breast, bone, prostate, ovarian, kidney, and cervical cancers while ignoring the body's healthy cells. They were able to show in lab tests that MR1-modified T cells in melanoma patients could not only search and destroy the patient's own cancer cells, but could do the same to cancer cells in other patients. While the researchers admit that there are a number of obstacles to overcome, they say that if testing continues to be successful, it's hoped that this new treatment could be ready for use in a few years. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
News happens around the clock. And VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour.
This is Joe Palca.
I'm Victor Beatty.
Francis Alonso.
Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on The Voice of America. hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.